Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Babe. I'm Laura.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is...
Babe.
Okay, we're back for a whole new episode of Babe.
Can you believe it?
I know, it's an actual miracle.
Yeah, but we've recorded these for years.
We've been doing this since we knew each other.
Yeah, without a microphone.
And today also marks another day that I got to wake up to the sounds of Ryan having sex.
Well, can I put it into context? The brain still works. Oh, look at that. Oh, making jokes on the fly. Okay, so last night, Jonathan and I got into like a hilarious fight. Oh. Did you hear us in the courtyard?
No.
What
time? I came home midnight, after you guys were asleep.
Midnight. Our neighbors probably think we're like, who's afraid of Virginia Woolf? I mean, no, because we went to a friend's house to, I had a screener of I, Tonya, who was a total babe, and we'll get to that later. And then, like, it was fine. And then Jonathan got really lit about it, and I don't, whatever.
He's lit, like, about what?
He's protective because he's like working with Margot in a movie. You know what I mean?
Honey, so, I'm trying to stay likable on this podcast, and when you bring the biz talk into it.
Well, it's true. And by the way, Margot was incredible in the movie, and the movie is incredible.
Yeah.
There was
so just, you got in a fight about Margot Robbie.
There were just certain criticisms that the internet was saying, which I agreed on, which is that...
No spoilers, please.
It treats abuse the first 20 minutes as a joke. It does. Like, there's actual, like, child abuse, and it's, like, played for lols. And then it, like, shifts to, like, a no-lol abuse, like, moment. But it, like, the first 20 minutes are, like, ha-ha, she's getting, like, literally beaten up by her mom. Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. And then she, like, starts getting beaten up by her boyfriend. And they're, like, oh, this is bad. And you're, like, kind of, like, it's a weird tonal shift. Okay?
Well, maybe they're using a lol to lead you into an all.
Well, yeah, that's Jonathan. Whatever. So... Jonathan got really
team defensive. Jonathan.
Well, and so Jonathan got VV defensive, and I was like, whatever. I actually truly don't care. It's just a fucking movie. And then on the way home, he was just like lit again, because Jonathan gets lit in a way that's really annoying. Like, mm-hmm. like I call it like he blares out, because once we were eating dinner at the restaurant, blares, and he like went psycho about something, and it was like it was truly embarrassing. I actually almost stormed out of the restaurant. I was like, you need to get a hold of yourself, because this is insane. So I'm like, you're blazing out when he goes crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was on the Uber ride home. I was so tired. And it was like after, it was like midnight, and I was like, please, can we just not talk about like internet culture and like I, Tonya? I just like don't, like, I need to go to bed. I'm like, I'm fucking tired.
This is real babe fight. And then I'm glad that you're telling the truth and being honest.
Jonathan's like, that's me. Yeah, that's me. And I could tell he was really upset, because I guess I never say, let's not talk about something serious or whatever. He's like, you always want to get into it. And I was just feeling so tired. I did not want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And he would be like, that's fine. And then he'd come back and be like, but da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, please stop talking. I just like, I need space. I like need quiet time. Like, stop. He's like, it's fine. And he'd be like, but another thing, Margo, I, Tonya, internet culture. And you're like, oh my God, please stop. So then Uber drops us off, and he just is picking at me.
Oh, you were fighting in the Uber?
In the courtyard.
Did the Uber driver weigh in on
any
of
it? No, he didn't. We got out of the Uber.
Driver laughing?
No. No, it was not.
It wasn't a funny fight.
No, it was not funny. And then
it was a serious fight about I, Tonya.
It was a serious fight. And then don't forget internet culture. Don't forget. So then on the, like, in the way through the courtyard, I literally am just like, stop torturing me. You're torturing me. You're torturing me. You're torturing me. Because that's what it feels like. Like, remember that scene in Search Party episode one,
yes,
season one,
yes,
where she's like, shut up. Shut up. Shut, yes, the fuck up. That's literally what it was. It was a shut the fuck up moment. Because I would be like, please, quiet time. He'd be like, okay. And another thing. And I'm like, stop. It actually feels like you're being tortured. It actually does. It feels like torture.
Yes. I have been there as well in like a relationship fight where you ask the other person to just please stop. Like you don't want to talk about it anymore. And then it keeps going and it's just like what? And then it brings me to an explosion as well.
Totally. I was in the courtyard being like, you're torturing me. You're torturing me. You're torturing me. And I'm like, I can only imagine like what our neighbors are thinking. And then I was like, I'm going to cry. Do you want me to cry? I'm going to cry. Because I actually thought I was going to cry because he was torturing me bad.
I like a threaten to cry.
Yeah, I know.
I just like usually start crying.
It was a new move. I hadn't tried that out.
That's yet. I did
feel like I was going to cry because he would not leave me alone.
I really wish that I had been home. I would have drawn open my balcony doors and watched with triumph at you guys screaming at each other.
So anyways, any gays, we went inside and we made up and we were just like, I'm sorry. He's like, you know, he explained his side of the story, which was true and whatever. Everyone had valid points. We're really good at like talking shit out. We are.
Yeah.
And so we went to bed and then this morning we apologized again and then we had like crazy makeup sex.
And then your genitals apologized to each other.
Yeah. They did the final thank you. Final I'm sorry tour.
Well,
so
I'm glad that I got to bear witness to that.
I've had a really great day, actually. I woke up, I got fucked, and then I did some good writing for about a few hours and then I worked out and then I got a chemical peel on my back.
You've had a really productive day.
I cram it in. You know.
You did, literally and figuratively.
Oh, so I thought of a song. This is so crude, but I feel like the fans love it when I sing.
That's a lie that you're telling yourself.
And what the fans want. I mean, look, this is a business. We need to make, you know, we need to make money. So we should just give them what they want. I thought of a song while in the shower. It's like, the best part of waking up is Jonathan in my butt. No.
I'm actually That's like...
sick.
Grossed gross. Out right now.
Isn't that sick? That's sick.
Like, I feel badly asking anyone to like stop having sex, but I would just love it if everyone within like a 50-foot radius of my apartment would stop having such
Laura,
loud sex.
You're so full of shit because it's like you literally could go out and get laid like literally today. Like you and it's just like
and
just have sex already, for fuck's sake.
I do have sex.
You don't have sex.
Ryan, I have dated someone like a month ago.
Who?
You know who.
Oh.
You
whatever.
Don't even count a person. You like troll me so hard for like, why don't you date? And I literally just dated someone.
But that was like not really dating. That was
it was dating.
It was
I dated someone.
It was bachelor.
Everyone,
dating.
I dated someone for like a couple months and then I broke things off.
It was
with
bachelor
him.
Style. It was long distance.
So what?
So they'd get
still
together
dating.
For trips.
It's still dating. I don't think it's so much to ask to like not want to hear people just getting railed around me all the time.
Well, you would
every
feel
once
that
in a
way.
While, it's great. I would feel that way. I would exactly feel that way about you and our neighbor.
When you were getting fucked on the regular, you didn't say anything about me and Jonathan having sex.
Because I never heard you because you guys weren't having sex.
We were having sex.
You weren't. Because I would literally be like, I had sex today. And you'd be like, I haven't had sex in weeks.
No.
Yes.
We've never gone that long. We've probably gone like 1 or 2 weeks, the latest. But yeah, maybe you're right. We did.
You did have you had like a bit of a dry period.
We did have a dry spell.
And
we never went. We always had sex once a week, though. We did. But it was it felt very routine and mechanical.
Well, it wasn't your like passionate Saturday morning, first thing in the AM wake up sex.
And the AM. Yeah. No, I know. Me and Laura hissed at each other for reasons that are very clear.
The neighbor had sex 2 times this week.
I heard her yesterday.
Yeah, and I
weird.
Almost...
She had sex at like 5 p.m.
I know.
It's weird. What a weird time to have sex.
I almost opened the window and said something, but then I chickened out. But then I resolved that next time I'm going to do it.
Okay, good. Because
and it's not... I'm not trying to shame her. I'm really just like, please, like... Just stop. Like, it's so loud all the time.
Yeah.
You can open the window like once every 2 months, but the rest of the time, keep your window closed.
I agree. I think you should, you know, if you see
we live in a communal,
if you say
we live in a communal
something.
Living space.
Yes.
It's not like I live on like 3 acres of my own private land.
Yes.
I live in my own private apartment.
Yes.
And I want her to respect me. Well, that's enough about that.
So,
you wanted to talk about something interesting this week, which is toxic friendships.
Oh yeah, because I called Laura up because I get these ideas.
Yeah, what gave you this idea?
Because I just thought of like friendships that I've had where that have been a total babe, just like not good, toxic, unhealthy, mm-hmm. and it's embarrassing how long these friendships lasted. And it's all early mid 20s. It's all like when you don't know yourself yet, so you kind of let other people decide who you are for you, and it's about, you know, not having boundaries and blah blah blah. And I feel like everyone can relate to babe friendships. And I think that, like, and in terms of like putting it in terms of like pop culture and stuff, like 2007, like celebrity friendships were a total babe.
Yeah,
like Lindsay Lohan and Nicole Richie, like mm-hmm. I mean Paris Hilton and everyone, like,
but her and Britney for sure.
Britney who?
Britney Spears, hello.
Oh, I thought you were like Britney Gastineau. And I was like, ew.
Get the fuck out of here. Britney no. Spears.
Yeah, Britney Spears for sure. Well, Britney's like literally like Paris Hilton, that was just her seeing a moment of like, ooh, like she's fresh off her divorce. Like, let me get her claws in her and like show her how to like do this. And like, it was like just picking up Britney from like the bathroom floor and just being like, here you go, honey. Oh, and don't
but kind of like trouncing her out and about for more attention.
Oh, of course. For her own profile to be lifted. And, you know, Britney was like heavily medicated. She didn't know up from down. So, or uppers from downers.
Yeah.
And she just like was like, all right, let's go to the club, y'all. You know what I mean? She's like, cool. I'll say the cool thing. Don't wear underwear.
She was a mentally ill person at that point in time.
Yeah, of course. And Paris just took advantage of that.
Yeah.
So I just thought of like my own like Paris and Britney friendships through the past. I had this one when I lived in San Francisco. I went to SF State for 2 years, not to brag.
What did you study while you were there?
I don't know. Drama. No, I don't know what I studied.
You had no major?
No, I was a freshman and sophomore.
Okay.
I took like weird G classes and just like fucking...
Just like live, laugh, on. Love.
Yeah, well, it's freshman, sophomore year. Like, okay. You don't do anything. And I had this gay frond. This was a very celibate time for me. And so I was very desperado for any kind of male attention, any kind of gay male contact. I thought, because I came out of the closet and actually had sex with 3 people.
Oh, wow.
And that was in Ventura. So I thought, surely in SF, you know, like, I will be fine. I'll be like chest deep in dick. And it did not work out that way at all. The only person I hooked up with my entire 2 years I was there is that I blew my freshman year roommate.
Was it awkward after that?
No. It was fine.
Did you live in a dorm?
Yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, I think I've told you this story. Like, he came in, he was like, oh, I just got blueballed by this girl. And I was like, mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, you can jack off here if you want. It was insane. And he was like, really? And I was like, yeah. And he was like, okay. And so he started like touching himself. And I was
in
like,
front of you?
Yeah. And then I was like, I can help you finish. And he was like, yeah. And then I blew him and he cried. He literally cried and was like, don't tell anyone about this.
Oh my God. You guys are both babes.
But it's weird because, okay, so it doesn't end there. So we stayed in touch for a few years. He's a nice guy.
How long did you live together? Just one semester or 1 year?
1 year. But it was at the end of the year, so we did move out like a week later. So it wasn't that weird.
Okay. I thought that this was like at the beginning of the year.
No, it was a bon voyage gift. It was in the gift basket. So then we saw each other actually intermittently, like for the next few years. He came to New York at one point when I was living there,
mm-hmm.
and he tried to do it again. And so he wasn't gay, by the way. This was not someone who was closeted. It was someone who kind of got off on being wanted, which was very interesting.
Yeah.
He was really into just being desired. He didn't really care about my dick or my asshole or whatever. So it was all about being worshipped, actually. And so when I was living in New York, he tried to hook up again, but like he just wanted me to suck his dick when he didn't want to do anything to me. And I was like, hard pass. And he got
one sided hookup.
He got really mad. He got furious. He was like, what the fuck? Like, and like pouted and then slept on the couch. I know. And got really mad. And then I went, oh, this is bad. I mean, I don't want to, whatever. He got married.
Did you go to the wedding?
No, but I met him and his wife. And mm-hmm. It was still flirty. Like, there's just a vibe between us. It was like pretty intense. Like,
his wife know that you guys had hooked up?
No, I don't think so. God, no. No, 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 no. But he was really nice. And, you know, I miss him.
Oh, that was a touching story. So, literally.
Beyond that, so freshman, sophomore year, it was all about misshapes, NX, New York funky style, being cool, hipsters, Cobra Snake. So I really adapted that because I had like no self-esteem, just like wanted to be very cool, like Corey Kennedy style.
Mm-hmm.
And there was this guy there that was like in the scene a little bit. And so we just were like nightmares together in SF. But he like, he was really hot and he like made me feel like a true like gargoyle.
Yeah.
He was like, how much do you weigh? 180. Yeah. He said that to me one time. And I was like, no, he was psychologically like totally abusive towards me. And then we get into these weird insane wrestling matches. Like there was just like weird
homoerotic.
No, babe, it was homo neurotic. It was like, it was crazy.
Wow.
Like it was not, it was like we'd like leave each other with bruises and like it was like me and actually Mike. I guess there's a wrestling theme in my life, a motif.
Yeah.
A homotif. No, I'm no. Sorry. Putting in the pun jar. So he just made me feel like shit, like all the time. He put me down constantly. It was bizarre.
Yeah.
It was like, and I got off on it because I was so starving Marvin for any kind of male attention that I was like, okay, well, I guess this is like what I deserve.
Well, also when you really admire someone else and you look up to them a lot, you can find yourself in a position where you're taking a lot of shit from
them. I thought he was cooler than me, even though the more I got into the friendship, I realized he was a fucking joker with like no friends and like a loser and like toxic. But I still was like, oh, but he's cute and he pays attention to me. And like, that's what I needed. But it lasted for like 2.5 years. And then mm-hmm. he moved to New York and I moved to New York too. And like right when I got to New York, it was like he was so mean to me. I don't even remember what the final straw was, but he said something and I was like, done. And then I never talked to him and he like texted me being like, what's going on? So I took him to a Starbucks in the East Village and broke up with him. He wore a blue I'll never forget. He wore a blue newsboy cap.
Ew, my God.
I know, it was sick. It was sick. I was like, I really don't know you. Yeah.
That is grounds for termination.
I know. I was like, honey, scary. You went from it girl to that girl. So, yeah, so that was like the darkest friendship I think I ever had because I have never allowed myself to be treated so bad, like badly before. It was bizarre. And it was a drug. I was like addicted to him treating me like shit. Mm-hmm. You know, it was like he'd like, it's like, I don't know. It was really weird. And I'm glad to be out of that.
Yeah. No, it's definitely nice to have those like in the rear view mirror of life, like having gone through those and come out the other side.
Yeah.
Because I had some toxic relationships in my 20s. Yeah. Like that were just because I have a real affinity, I think, because I grew up with like a really psychotic ex-stepmother as like a female role model for me. Mm-hmm. So then I think that left me feeling very like attracted and like drawn to like other females with that type of energy. And I'd find myself in like hardcore friendships with women that were like oftentimes like off their rocker, so to speak. Or we'd just have like really like hot and cold relationships with most of my female friends. And that didn't really even out until like my late 20s and then now where it's like I can be friends with a normal person. And well, just, but like, great.
In your defense too, like having tons of girlfriends, and I feel like having girlfriends in your 20s, like the relationships are kind of Herbie Fully Loaded a little bit.
It was like, it's funny.
But yours, you hung out with some wackadoos. Like there was this one in particular that I was like, she's like unstable. She was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, she's crazy.
Okay.
I was like unnerved. I was like, oh.
We met each other in college.
See, when you meet people when the clay hasn't dried yet, it's scary.
We met each other like, in college when I was having my like full blown like live, laugh, love, never look back.
Live, laugh, spend.
Yeah, I was like live, laugh, spend. Like I was just like extremely privileged.
I wish,
like,
I knew you then.
Oh my God, honey.
God.
I'm like, I miss that version of myself.
We would have done some damage together.
We would have done some damage together. Because I was literally like living in Chicago. I didn't really have like a good group of friends for like the first year or so that I lived in Chicago. So I just like lived in like a nice apartment and got an allowance and like went to school and just like went shopping every single day because I had no friends.
You know
friends.
What's sad is that your taste then, like it's like you had the most money when you had the least taste. So it's like you probably spent so much money on bad clothes.
Yeah.
Right?
There were some like good taste things that I had. Like
sometimes it creeps in. Sometimes I look at my wardrobe and I'm like, I'll like see what I wore in 2007. And like sometimes there's like, oh, wow, that was cute.
I was cute. I did cute things in college. But then I also just...
I don't know, Laura. I've seen...
What are you talking about?
Well, I just feel like your style has evolved and it's really good. But I feel like sometimes...
My style now like, is literally like I find a pair of... Like... What are you... Okay, say it. Just say it.
You used to
just
like,
say it, Ryan.
Love J-brand jeans. I'm like...
Yeah, what's not to love?
I don't know.
Ryan, do you understand that I'm 5'11", sometimes 6 feet tall, and that... Many, until very recently...
She pulls the height card.
Until very recently, most jean brands like did not make jeans that were long enough for
me. I didn't
know
that. I didn't know that.
So J-brand was my obsession. And what's wrong with J-brand? I don't wear them now, but...
I just feel like sometimes like it was like very like LA 2007 style.
I was like heavily influenced by that. Wait, what else? I want to know what my style missed
up. I actually don't remember.
Oh.
I don't. I seriously don't.
You know what I have from 2005 that I like made my dad get me in Paris?
Dad, I'm in Paris. Let's to die. I'm from the shirt that's to die. You need to die. Dad, I'm in Paris.
No, we, okay, so I'll tell this. My dad loves I'm in this Paris. If he ever listens to this podcast, which he won't. He'd be happy that I'm telling this story.
Okay, go ahead.
So when I was a sophomore in college, my stepmom that I have now got breast cancer, which was really scary and sad.
I'm already laughing.
And I know.
Hilarious
like,
story.
But it was really sad and a scary thing. And so she wanted to take a trip to Paris that was like a last like hurrah.
Wow. Like, it was that serious?
Well, it was like, it was, I think whenever you get a cancer diagnosis, it's pretty serious, right. But like it, thankfully she's in remission and has been in remission for a long time and had a serious battle with cancer, but is thankfully healthy now.
Okay.
So we can look back at this time and laugh.
Good,
she's
good.
Alive
yes.
And doing really well.
Good.
And like, she gave me Botox. She's great.
She's great.
But so she was like, I want to take a trip to Paris. Like whoever wants to come, like come and we'll live, laugh, love. And so it was literally the first week of my, like of school at like this new college that I had transferred to.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, well, I just like have to go to Paris because like my stepmother has cancer. And so like, you understand, don't you?
You get it.
Yeah.
It's the old and they were like, breast cancer Paris trip. Okay. You know that old trope.
Yeah. So they like planned this trip to Paris. Me and my little brother went. My other two siblings like couldn't go.
Why?
Because it was literally like a last minute trip and they had school.
Okay.
And they were like, we're not going to just like abandon our lives to like go to Paris.
But you were like, son.
I was like, son. I was like, son, see you delivered. I was like on the plane. All you have to say is like, ask me if I want to go on a vacation and I will
go,
say.
You'll go anywhere.
I'll go anywhere.
I could be like, Laura, we're going to Barstow. You'd be like, cool.
I'd be like, I'm in.
Yeah, you really would. You love to
I'm
trip.
A traveler at heart.
Yeah, you do.
And so Jenny was like, we're all going to go to Paris. Like, come on. And so we went to Paris and my dad and her booked rooms for us at the Plaza Athénée, which I don't know if you are familiar with Sex and the City, but in the final episodes of Sex and the City, like the finale of the season, that's the hotel that Carrie Bradshaw stays
wow.
at.
Damn, it's like, girl.
It's crazy.
Okay.
So I was like, this was back also when I was like a psycho who loved Carrie Bradshaw and like worshipped her.
Oh, like when you realized, well, yeah.
Yeah, this was like pre.
When you love Carrie Bradshaw because you're not, again,
yeah,
the clay hasn't
not,
dried
like,
yet.
Fully awake.
You're not awake. Yeah, you're still asleep. Anesthesia.
I was just like, we got to this hotel and like my brother and I are just living our truths like in our own room.
Is this
I, like,
Jake?
No, this is Kurt.
Kurt went?
Oh, yeah. So and funny. So we like open up the window and like the Eiffel Tower's right there and I'm like having like my Carrie Bradshaw moment. Like, I had like a Louis Vuitton.
You're like macaroons.
I know. It's like carrying it all around Paris. Like I like wore high heels every day and even though my feet killed,
no.
I like, had to like leave whatever tour we were on.
I would pay like $20,000 to be on this.
It was embarrassing. I was like, I'm chic now.
You're like Jetime. Gentlemen!
I wore like True Religion boot. Oh, no. I wore like Rockin' Republic boot, like flare jeans with pointy black high heels.
You're like European fashion. Here
a
we
Louis
go.
Louis Vuitton Speedy and like a capelet.
No.
Living my truth. And so we get to this hotel.
Life is a runway.
And Jenny tries to tell the hotel, like the hotel people, she's like, well, as you may or may not know, I have breast cancer and I just really appreciate an upgrade. And she thought that she could like play.
No.
She thought that she could play the cancer card in Paris where they literally don't give a shit about anyone.
Yeah.
And like get a free upgrade right. of her to hotel room. And so they were like, sure, we will give you the upgrade. And they just upgraded her and charged her for like a more expensive
no.
room. Yeah.
Oh my God. What a troll.
Paris does not do like free upgrades.
No, you could
sort.
Just like that's collapse like, right there at the back of your body.
Thing.
Yeah.
Like Parisians have no feelings.
There's no Kickstarter.
That's what makes them so chic.
There's no Kickstarter over there. They don't care.
So we are like in Paris, like running around for like a week. And then one day I was like, Dad, we need to go shopping. Like we need to do it. We have to. And so we went shopping and I bought literally maybe the most hideous thing that I currently own because I cannot bring myself to get rid of them.
Right.
Fendi Ugg boots.
No.
Yes.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I'm not kidding.
It reminds me of the first big purchase I made when I came into my cerebral palsy money. And I went to like Saks Fifth Avenue and I got a True Religion black velvet blazer.
No.
And
I think I know this blazer that you're... No, how long did you have it for?
I had it for a long time. But no, I stopped wearing it years ago. But I had it for a long time because no one would take it. I went to all the consignment stores in New York and they would literally laugh at me. And I was like, this would cost like $1,000. And they'd be like...
It cost $1,000?
It cost $750. In 2006, five. Yeah. Yeah. And
what?
And literally consignment stores laughed me out of the like store. I could not get rid of it. It was like Homer Simpson when he got that trampoline. He could not get rid of it. That was me with the True Religion blazer. The crushed God. Velvet black. It was horrific. It was the ugliest thing. Even when I bought it, I was like, this is kind of ugly. And I was like, anyway, it's tired. Like, I was just crazy.
I've held on to these Fendi boots. They're a monstrosity. Do you want to see them?
I've never seen them. Yeah, I want to see them.
Okay, I'll go get them and I'll show you.
Okay. I love like babe purchases. Oh my God, you guys. I'll try to visualize it for our, I want to say readers, for our readers at home. Well, they are readers in a different way, you know? No. Yes. Shut the fuck up. Wait, Laura, those are hideous. Oh my God. Wait, what is that on the side? Lol, it's like art. It's like artwork.
So this was like a season when Fendi like they did a kind of a collection with like squirrels and stuff. So it's like a squirrel.
Wait, Laura,
eating a nut, like a little rubber patch of a squirrel eating a nut.
Laura, those are so hideous. I'm obsessed with them.
I know they're kind of so ugly that they go full way around the circle and become chic again.
No, that's you. No. But no, they're like, no, no, no.
Like, if I was in...
I would wear that to, like, a costume party, almost.
They're very, like...
With, like...
They're... I don't even know what decade they're, like... They're, like...
How much were they?
I don't know.
That's fucking crazy.
I
did
know.
Did you ever... You wore them in earnest?
Oh, I wore them in earnest all through college. Because I lived in Chicago, and it was, like, snowy. Yeah. And I was, like, winter weather. And then...
winter wonderland.
But then I got to LA, and I was, like, I can't ever wear these, because it's, like... The weather does not allow. And then I was like, wow, these are actually the most hideous thing I own.
Right.
But I can't get rid of them because they're Fendi, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like...
I mean, you can definitely get rid of them. You can definitely get rid of them. You should try to put them on eBay. I wonder if they would sell.
But I kind of love them, though. Laura, I feel like they have to come around again.
The babe still lives inside of you.
It does.
The babe bought those Fendi boots and the babe is still alive. You need to kill that babe.
No, I'll post photos of them. They're heinous.
They're heinous, but I think you like love them in a real way.
I do.
Makes me question.
I still kind of think they're chic.
That, Laura, the iPod sound just gets cut off. It's like, we're done here.
I would wear them with my J brands.
No. Honey, scary.
Anyway, so that trip to Paris ended in tears for everyone. Because the bill from the hotel came and then...
I feel like it's cool because I feel like we met towards the end of our babe years, but like still like the last, I think first two, we were still babing out. I don't know. It's like, it's yeah. good. We've evolved, but like we still,
we met each other at a very babe time in both of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah. It was true. Yeah.
But then we
transcended.
Yeah. We transcended and then right. really like became friends.
Well, we were like friends with a lot of psychos, I would say.
Yeah. We ran in a
psycho group. And then,
I mean, you saw me be like psychotic to people.
Who?
Remember I got in a fight with.
Oh. Where, like at the museum?
What museum?
a PS1 in Queens.
Oh, did we?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even remember that.
You, like, borrowed her backpack.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being there being like, this friendship is weird. I remember like seeing it being like, this is weird. They're like, they're acting like sisters, but they're not.
Yeah. I had a friend that was like a long-term friend from high school that we met when we were like 16 and 17 and remained friends for about 10 years or no, like 11, and maybe 12 or 13 years. And, but we just had like,
yeah,
it was a weird, like toxic, too close sisters.
It's a bummer because I feel like they are so similar. Like, you guys are so similar. Like, your law sensibilities are very similar.
Oh, it's like we're twins.
You're
almost.
Both very funny, very smart girls. And, you know, there was a way to bridge the gap and heal.
TBD, I never say never.
Yeah.
But it was like when it was good, it was great. And then when it was bad, everyone paid for like our fights. And yeah. we didn't, I fought with her like I would fight with family members.
No,
where
I know.
We would like scream at each other.
You guys were horrible to each other.
It's a hardcore.
It was really bad. It was scary. Yeah.
You got scared?
Yeah, it was weird. It was just a weird thing to see because I didn't even really know you that well.
Did you think that I was a scary person?
No, not at all. But you were a grower, not a shower. That's the thing with you. You were kind of surfacey with me for like a year. Like, we'd get together. Like, I remember the trip that I made in LA where I feel like I finally broke in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was like, oh my God, this is like the sweet spot. Because before that, you were kind of like cagey and like diplomatic.
What do you mean?
Like, I just felt like, even though I like loved you and stuff, but like, cause we met when I lived in New York, so I would see you when I'd come to LA,
mm-hmm.
but I feel like there was still sort of a wall. Like, I feel like you had like a little bit of a wall up. It was actually,
really?
Yeah, it was hard. And then it was weird. And then I feel like it took one trip here where we hung out like every day and like you just like broke free.
Yeah.
Like, here's the thing too. Like, you might not remember this about yourself. You like wouldn't talk shit about people, really.
What?
No, you were kind of cagey, babe. I like I tried to get you to like get real and like let your hair down and like whatever. And you kind of were like a little buttoned up and you would not talk shit. You like kind of wouldn't. You were like very, I feel like you were just diplomatic. And maybe it's because of the circumstances of which I met you and whatever, whatever. But I don't know. Like, it took a while for you to just really like let your hair down and break the law wall. Like,
yeah.
You were always down to law, but it was sort of like you were just a little bit more cut off a little bit. That's honestly my impression of you the first year that I met you.
Wow, interesting.
I know. And then do you remember the trip that I'm talking about that I took?
Was it the one where we like picked up that vagrant on the street?
I guess so. I don't remember specifically, but I remember I came to LA and because I had hung out with you in LA plenty of times, but there was this one trip that I made where we hung out like every day. And I feel like you were like finally just like, and like you were vulnerable. You were real. That's the thing. Like, you were vulnerable. You were real. You were like, you were willing to go there. Like, and I feel like the first like year of our friendship, you like weren't quite ready to go there. I don't know. That's the feeling that I had.
Whoa. Interesting.
Did you not know that?
No, I never knew that.
Oh, I can't believe you didn't know this.
I both love and dislike that about myself.
Wait, why?
Well, I like it because it's like, I feel like it makes me strong in a way, but I dislike it because it keeps others out.
Well, by the way, in the way that I do friendship is not necessarily correct. I like need to go there immediately with people.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like full throttle intimacy.
You're like a no boundaries.
I'm like, let's go. Let's talk about shit. And you need to have a sense of humor about yourself. You need to have vulnerability. I mean, there's like check marks for me in friendships. And
yeah.
By the way, it's really hard for someone to possess all the same qualities of being hilarious, willing to talk shit, but also like being vulnerable about yourself mm-hmm. and like ego.
Having a self-awareness.
Self-awareness is key because no one darks me out more than someone who doesn't have self-awareness.
Yeah.
And so,
I guess I just like, I kind of like to stand back a little bit from people and then see like, suss out what their energy is before mm-hmm. I'm willing to give a lot of my energy.
It was weird though, because I just feel like there was a shift with you where you just like let me in.
Well, yeah.
Like, but it took a while.
It took That's a while, all. But our relationship was long distance at first.
We'd write letters.
And then we came.
We'd write letters.
You came here, and I think I do remember the trip where we hung out a lot. And then there was one night where we were like, we picked up some drunk guy on the street
right.
who was like literally blackout.
Right.
And he was like running we rescued him from like running but into also, traffic we on so Franklin stupid Avenue. For, like,
picking him up.
Yeah, but we were like, we picked him up and we were like, you can't kill us, okay? Like, we're gonna help you, but you cannot hurt us. Do you promise? And he's like, yeah, I promise. And then we just asked him where he wanted to be dropped off, and he told us the intersection. So we just drove him to like his friend's house and then dropped him off, which was like a really kind thing of us to do.
I know. We saved a fellow babe.
And then that moment like bonded us. I was like, we can loll together and have like funny adventures together.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was like funny adventures and like, mm-hmm. and again, vulnerability and not taking yourself seriously and like just letting it all hang out.
Yeah.
Like, that was my key. So it took a long time, but I feel like for the first time I can say my friend group is like babe free. It's been babe free for a long time.
Yeah, mine too.
I just don't have the time to like waste.
The only babe I can handle in my life is me. Yeah, truthfully. I know. Like that's
I'm a full-time babe.
Yeah, it's you know? Like I need to mitigate my own babeness, and then I can't take on anyone else.
It's true.
Like I can call them out when they're doing it and then hope that they realize the errors, the babes of their ways, and then like fix it. But for like I just can't have like I can't have any psychos around anymore.
No, I can't either. It darks me out and they're way too much energy.
And just like, and it's.
I also just don't like biting my tongue.
Yeah, I don't like biting my tongue. And I also just don't, it's not worth it to be friends with anyone that makes you feel bad about yourself.
I know.
Like
story break.
That's a huge, that is a huge story break. And like what the difference, I think the biggest difference between like friendships in my 20s versus friendships in my 30s is like, I'm not friends with anyone that makes me feel badly about myself.
I know. And it takes you a long time to get there because you in your 20s don't have like the self-esteem to like create that, like that boundary and that distance. It's yeah. like you kind of just let the garbage in because you yourself were kind of garbage.
Yeah.
You know,
or you're friends with people that are like, they lash out at you because they have like all their own demons and like hate themselves to some extent.
Right.
So like they're only going to serve out that energy to anyone that they're friends with too.
The friend group gets smaller, but it's quality over quantity.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
And so now it's just like lollers only.
Yeah. It is a lol group only.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like our listeners can relate to that.
Yeah.
They're a little group of lollers.
They are lollers.
Oh, that's why I like reading their reviews. They crack me the fuck up.
Yeah. They're the best.
They get it.
And by the way, if you're listening and you want to get involved, just rate us 5 stars. Like and subscribe in iTunes and leave us a rating.
They are.
And a review.
Yeah.
Just say we're the Lamera podcasts.
Is that, or people do
someone
say
said that we're the Vintner's Daughter podcast.
Who said that?
Great.
That's a genius.
That was
great. Did we talk about using Vintner's Daughter on here?
I think we did on one episode.
Oh my God. I love it. I just got a new bottle. And I think I think the listeners should write in with their own babe friend.
I would love
hearing stories about other crazy friendships. Yeah. I do. It's like very, very real to me. Do you think guys have like straight guys have babe friendships?
I don't know, actually.
I don't know either.
They kind of are just like, I don't know. Some of them, I guess, have like frenemy, like guys have frenemies.
Like competitions.
Yeah. Like competitions,
friends that they're competitive with.
But not like, or friends that they like take the piss out of each other. But I don't think, I feel like straight guys approach friendship differently.
I feel like to have babe friendships, you need to be capable of lots of nuance.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like straight men are just straight shooters in that way.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that they're like...
Or like, if they fight, they like physically fight and get it out
like
of their system.
Yeah, they'll like break their nose and be like, anyways.
Yeah, and then
on.
They like go back and everything's fine.
Yeah.
Whereas like, you can just like, you can linger in a babe friendship for years before you finally have like the courage.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Babe, you have some weird, funny stories about your friendships, and I think you need to...
Okay, so I had this friend in college. We'll call her what? What should I call her? I need to give Marissa. Her a fake name. Marissa, okay.
That's a good one.
So I met Marissa when we were both in college, and we were really close, and I moved to LA. She came to LA to visit one...
Was this like the final trip?
This, I think, was like the final time that she came to visit. But she came out here and I was like,
weird.
I was like, oh, my friend wants to throw a dinner party for us. Like, so like, why don't we get some groceries and we'll like take some stuff over to his house, like blah, blah, blah. And so I like get the fish, like halibut or whatever. And then like I was like, oh, I'll make guacamole when we're over there. Like chips and guac would be like a really good appetizer. And so I got like all the ingredients to get all the like chips and guac and fish, and Marissa was like, I'm not paying for any of this. And I was like, okay, like would you maybe be okay like just splitting the chips and guac with me? And she was like, no, I'm not. I'm like, I'm not really hungry. Like I'll get a bag of chips, but like that's it. Like I'm not really like gonna eat anything else. And I was like, okay, that's fine. And so I like paid for all the groceries, and then we got back in the car and she wouldn't speak to me, and she bought aside from the guacamole materials that I had bought, she had bought an avocado and a bag of chips, just one avocado that was ripe. And then she proceeded to sit in the car and give me the silent treatment and eat the avocado like it was an apple. She took a bite out
She literally took the avocado and just started munching on it?
Yeah.
No.
She bit into it and then ate it like an apple.
Were you like literally like she's losing her mind?
Yeah. And then we went to this dinner and my friend made dinner for us. And then she left halfway through. She left halfway through the dinner and then just like walked back to my apartment or just like disappeared.
Did she explain where she was going?
No. She was like, oh, no. He was living in Venice. And she was like, I'm going to go walk by the ocean. And just left and like left for the last like 2 hours.
God. Babe.
It was a lot.
That's fucking... I love a raw avocado munch.
It was
munch.
Really... Yum, it was, yum, yum. One time I was visiting Chicago and I was staying with her and I was like... We were like... She lived above a Whole Foods and we were like, let's get snacks for like lunch or whatever.
Yeah.
And we went down to Whole Foods and we're like grocery shopping and I had like my arms full of like... I had like watermelon and like a bottle of water or something and I really wanted a croissant and I was like, hey, Marissa, will you hold this for me for just a second? Like... asking her so I could get a croissant and she was like, I'm not your slave, and then walked away. Marissa was out of
control.
And then later I found out like we had a falling out because I told her that I like didn't want to write, like she really wanted to like write something together and I just told her I was I really don't want to write this with you, like you live in Chicago, like I live in LA, like also, I don't want to write and so she flipped out at me and sent me like text after hate, like just a series of hateful texts, and then I was like, okay, well I guess I did myself a favor because this person's clearly like bonkers. And then last year during the election I was following her on Snapchat and I would look at her Snap story sometimes and she was like a full-blown Trump supporter.
That's fucking
like,
crazy.
Would posting, like she'd be like, MAGA, like posting. Like,
no.
She'd be like, send Hillary to fucking prison where she belongs. Like all the shit. And I was like, oh my God. And I just started screenshotting them because I was like, this is too amazing. Like I have to. Then she started screenshotting all my stuff. And she was like, two can play this game. Like
a screenshot war.
And it was a screenshot war.
Yes.
And then she eventually blocked me. And then, but now she like lives in Malibu, I think.
No, she doesn't.
Yeah, she like moved.
She lives here?
Yeah.
Oh,
she
God.
Moved to California.
Yikes.
But I don't know why you're really not scary. Friends anymore.
Wow.
The avocado, the eating the raw avocado like an apple was a moment that was where
That's babe chilling.
That chilled me to my core. I was like, Can you even imagine? We're sitting in my car and I'm in the driver's seat and I was like, I was trying to talk to her and she wouldn't speak to me.
When she's eating
an and then
avocado.
She just looked me in the eye and bit into an avocado like an apple and ate it.
Babe, that's unhinged. She'll be like, I'll show you with your guacamole games. Yeah, I'll show you.
She taught me a lesson.
I'll just bite into this raw avocado.
Yeah.
Yum, like normal. Mm-hmm. Yum, 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 yum. The last babe fight I ever had was actually at your book party for Psychos.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember this. And so
our
friends, Carmine, who I love so much, but they definitely bring out my inner babe. They
fan the babe flame.
Oh, they do. Like, we have gotten into some babes together.
Yeah.
So they were there, and my friend Garrett, who I'm still dear friends with, I've known him since I was 15, and we're great friends, but we've also have like history together. Cause this one time we like rented a beach house in Venice and it was right after I got hit by a car and I was like mad at him. I actually can't really remember. All I know is that I was like, I'm going to go to CVS and then just like never came back.
Just to the beach house?
Yeah,
you left him there.
Left him there and he didn't have a car and he like was stranded. With our friend, our other friend. So he wasn't like completely alone. But it was just like, and then he was like, where are you? Are you coming back? And I was like, I don't think so. Just like, so anyways, we were at your book party and our friends, Karen and Renee had made a cookie out of herself, like a picture. You know those picture cookies?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And allegedly, Eric, Garrett took the cookie and dangled it out of the window and was like, goodbye.
Like, did he drop it out the window?
I don't know. I think he threatened
a taxi?
Out the hotel window.
Okay.
And I think he threatened to drop this cookie of Renee outside the window.
And that ignited World War III.
It did, because Renee was like, are you fucking kidding me? And I was like, I was like, oh my God, that's so rude how he would just take Renee's cookie and
I remember this drama happening around me because we were all at the book party together and we all left together in a group. And like, I remember you trying to convey to me what was going on because everyone was like distraught and I was like, what is happening?
I was like, you don't understand. Garrett took the cookie
and like threatened and I was like, who? They're literally fighting about a cookie. Like, I don't follow.
He took this cookie that was in Renee's likeness and he took out the window threatening that it was
and then really you guys were insane. Like all giving each other the silent treatment and like not.
I think he like allegedly also like took a tortilla chip and like threw it our way.
He threw a tortilla chip at someone and then everyone was like having a meltdown. And this is like the drama that was happening between you guys was like, I could not wrap my head around why everyone was so mad.
Yeah.
And then my dad was there and he was really drunk. And I was like, I got to get my dad out of here. And then I was like, I got to leave. So I left I left the party and went and like got laid.
Oh my God. Well, that's not how my night ended.
No.
My night ended.
Tortilla gate.
Garrett and me screaming at each other outside your after party. And being like, like, are you fucking kidding me? You're so fucking rude. And then you sent me a text being like, you're so childish. It was true.
You guys got in a food fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Essentially. Over a cookie. I just love a cookie. Like a cookie monster. We were cookie monsters that night.
You were. That reminded me. That brings me back to like us in Paris, like on our babe Euro trip. So we're in Paris. It's like late 2011. And we got in this huge fight because like we were supposed to get up early and like fly to Barcelona. And so... But like I had bought this antique like drawing at the flea market in Paris and she'd like folded it up and then like sat on it and I flipped out at her and I was like, why the fuck are you sitting on my fucking drawing? And then we just like screamed at each other in the hotel until literally it's like some person reported us and the hotel called us.
Wait,
and they were like,
no.
Yes.
They were someone like, reported you? Oh
yeah.
My God.
And they were like, you need to stop screaming at each other. And so I was like, okay, fine. And so then we went to Barcelona the next day and I'm like a big eater. Like I love food and I like trying a lot of different food. If I like travel to a new place, like I want to eat all the food. But
it's so crazy. I just like food.
No,
it's
but
weird about me.
I'm saying that because Marissa does not like food. And when you're trapped, no. And
oh
when
my
you're,
God, that's like the worst.
When you're traveling together, it's like just two people like food is like something that you should agree on, or yeah. else it's just like you're fucked.
Because, well, so you want to have someone who like wants to seek out the good restaurants.
Yeah,
and stuff.
I was like, I had like made a list, like an Excel document of like every Gwyneth Paltrow recommendation in Paris and Barcelona, and she didn't want to go to any of them. Ugh. I was like, look at this open market that's like filled, packed to the brim with like meats and cheeses and fish. Yum. And she was like, I was like, let's go in here. And she walked in there and then she started making like vomit sounds. And she was like, ugh. She was like, ugh. She was like, I can't be in here. I cannot look at dead fish. I can't do it. And then flipped out.
Oh my God.
Then like she wouldn't eat. She refused to eat anywhere in the market because there was too much dead fish around. And then like she... Then I was like, well, do you want to go like out to dinner tonight? Like, let's go get like paella or something. And we went to this restaurant and then she just refused to eat anything and then just made me, I was like, I ate dinner by myself while she just sat there and made faces at like everything I ordered.
Oh my God.
And then the only place she would go was Starbucks. So we like went to-
Stop it.
Yeah. So we
Wait,
went-
Wait, are you joking?
No, I'm not joking.
Wait, Laura, that's sick.
Babe, it was weird.
She could only go to...
She would only go to Starbucks.
That is sick.
She'd be like, I want to go to Starbucks. So we like
Oh my God.
So we like would go to these Starbucks and we went in one Starbucks on like the main kind of... There's like one big main street in Barcelona that like has all these like Gaudi architecture on it. It's really pretty. And there's a Starbucks there. So we go into the Starbucks and one of the baristas was just like... smoking hot, like right. he was covered in tattoos and like piercings, and he was just like a true hottie. And I was really shy at the time, and I had like told her, I was like that guy's so hot, like blah blah blah, and she's like, well, why don't you just go talk to him, like blah 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 blah. And I was like, I can't do it. And so she was like, fine, I'll do it. And then she like went up to him and she was like, my friend likes you. She thinks you're hot. Like, do you want to blah, blah, blah. Like, here's her phone number. And like gave him my phone number. So okay. I was like, as much as she babed, she also like babed in a good way. So, but until it was like all bad.
Well, babing. You need to be a babe to be able to do shit like that.
Yeah. So she gave him my phone number and then he called me and he like arranged for us to all meet up.
He
spoke a little bit of English.
He spoke enough English, the language of love.
He arranged for us all to like meet up after he got off work at Starbucks and like go get drinks. And so Marissa and I go to meet up with the barista.
Yeah.
And we're in the taxi, like headed out to this bar that he was telling us to meet him at. And I said something to her that set her off. And she was like, pull over the taxi, pull it over right now. I'm getting out. I'm done. I'm not going. And I was like,
God,
wait, what are you talking about? Like it was a misunderstanding of something I'd even said. And then I like coaxed her back into the car and we like went out with this guy and we had drinks and stuff. And like, she was like babing out with like one of his friends and like dancing. And then I was like dancing with him. And then like the night kind of rolls around to a close and he and I are like making out, blah blah blah, and he's like, let's go back to my place.
I love that you hook up with a Starbucks guy.
He was really hot.
I know, I love it.
And so he's like, let's go back to my place. And I was like, okay, but I need to go back to my hotel first because like I need to make sure all my stuff is packed because we had like a hard checkout the next morning and I like couldn't go back and like press it. And I was like, I just need to get my stuff and make sure I have stuff like at your place. So we go back to the hotel and I'm like packing things and she's like waiting in the room and she's like, where do you think you're going? And I was like, I'm gonna go over to like Christopher's house. Like I'm going over to his apartment, like we're having a fun night. And she was like, you're a fucking idiot. She was like, he is going to rape you and kill you. Is this what you want? He's going to fucking kill you. And I was like, he's not going to kill me. I was like, he's downstairs, like waiting in the lobby. Like there's a security camera down there. Like, you know where I'm going.
Yeah.
I know where I'm going. Like, it's all good. I promise. And she was like, flipped out at me, like screamed at me as I was packing this bag. And then I went over to the barista's house, had a great night with him, like woke up the next morning and went back to the hotel. And she refused to speak, would not look at me or speak to me for the rest of the day, left the hotel, would not get a wouldn't get like a car to the airport with me. She was
what?
Like, made us, we had to go to the airport separately to fly back to Paris. Wouldn't speak to me in the airport. Wouldn't look at me in the airport. Would not.
This is insane.
Didn't speak to me until we had landed in Paris, and then we both had to go. We were both staying at the same place, so she had to like interact with me, but like was refusing to even like interact.
And where's your mind at during the whole thing? Are you just like...
I was just like, she's being a fucking psycho. Like, what can I do?
I feel like when you have enough babes as friends, like that behavior is like normalized.
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
You're just like another one? Okay.
But if someone did that to me today, I'd be like, you're fucking insane. Like if you did that to me in Europe, I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with
you? No, I would be like, we're never speaking again. I'd be like, enjoy this trip because it will be your last with me.
I know.
Good night and good luck forever.
Yeah, that's literally
Here's like a therapy. Here's like several therapy recommendations.
Yeah, get your shit together. You're a fucking
like maybe
psycho.
Get on some medication.
Yes.
I don't know what else to say.
Of course, like what else is there to say?
There's nothing.
Wow.
But it's like it was a lot of moments like that, I think.
Yeah.
In that friendship specifically.
That's hilarious. I'm sad that you go through that, but
it's whatever. It made for good stories.
Yeah, make it for good podcasts.
Should
we go into our babe of the week?
Yeah, we should talk about our babe of the week.
So I have Ty for mine. I have Tanya Harding and Monica Lewinsky, because when examining one, you can't not examine the other.
Okay, explain, please.
So I saw Tanya. I mean, it's like stupid to say like no spoilers because like her story's out there and you can know. So I didn't understand Tanya's story. I assumed that she, you know, did this hatchet job on Nancy Kerrigan.
Did you watch that documentary I told you to watch?
No.
What
documentary?
30 for 30. It's an ESPN like docuseries or whatever, but they produced a documentary about Tanya Harding called like The Price of Gold.
Okay.
And if you're listening and you're intrigued, look it up. You will not be disappointed.
Okay.
It's like the best fucking documentary. 30 for 30, The Price of Gold, Tanya Harding, ESPN are your like key Google words. And then you just have to figure it out from there.
I assumed that Tanya was just this sort of like malicious kind of like rednecky girl that like wanted to take Nancy Kerrigan down, and so she
That was not Tanya's story at all.
Tanya like didn't really know anything that was going on. She thought there was going to be like they were going to send like fun, living, laughing, loving death threats to her, but like she had no idea that they were actually going to like hurt her. She had no idea. And the way that she was punished and vilified by the media and by the court system is just incredible, because she was banned from ever skating again. Her livelihood was cut off. Meanwhile, her fucking boy abusive husband, who was kicking the shit out of her, and his little you know henchman, is that how you say henchman?
Yeah,
they were like 18 months. There we go. And they served like 8 months. So their lives went off unscathed, and she was just
her life is ruined forever.
Destroyed, and she didn't really do anything.
Everything that
she didn't really do anything.
But I feel like she had to know on some level.
I think she knew about the death threats, but the way that Tanya talks about it is that she only knew about them sending her letters. She had no idea that they were going to try to hurt her.
They didn't even talk about death threats in the documentary. So maybe that was like an embellishment or something.
Maybe. But I mean, the idea is that she got completely destroyed.
Oh, she was destroyed. And her entire livelihood was figure skating. Like from the time that she was a little child.
And she
had worked so hard at it and was so good at it.
And
She didn't know how to do anything else.
She got low scores because she just didn't fit into the mold of like, you know.
They thought that she was not attractive and like didn't dress well.
Yeah. Seriously, so she would get low marks because she wasn't hot enough and she was like unconventional.
Mm-hmm.
And it just...
I like that you learned all this from Tanya.
I know, right?
You're the babe of the week.
I know, I am.
I watched this amazing movie called Monster and I learned about
Eileen Wuornos. No, but like it just made me think of like our treatment of like Monica Lewinsky and how these women are just so unfairly maligned. Meanwhile, the men get away scot-free.
Yeah.
And the women haven't really done anything at all besides their real misstep was just being a woman.
Yeah.
And that was how I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It makes you think and it makes you sad. So anyway, I don't think that what I want to say
so
is that
Tanya Harding
Tanya
is like your
and Monica
babe?
Are not, they're or, not babes.
No, they're babe exclamation
I was
point.
Led, I was brought up to believe that Monica and Tanya were both babes when in reality they weren't. So that's what I want to say.
Fantastic.
I know.
Who's I like babe? That. So yeah. Our listeners, if you have any babes that you were brought up to feel like was a babe, but it was really just a babe.
Well, it's the typical men gaslighting women and making them believe that they're a babe when really they're just a babe.
Yeah. And so also, if you're listening at home, don't let anyone make you feel like you're a babe when you know in your heart that you're a babe.
Yes, exactly.
That's really good. It's easier said than done.
Yeah.
But we're here for you.
Yeah, we're here.
My babe of the week is a true babe, and it's Rupert Murdoch.
Noted climate change denier
whose house burned in the California fires this week.
Yeah.
And while I don't celebrate anyone's house burning to the ground, I do celebrate his house either burning to the ground or being damaged, because no one deserves it more than Rupee.
Yeah. Poor little Rupee. Yeah. The California fires are very sad because I grew up in Ventura and it's my hometown.
Oh, yeah.
And it got fucked up.
Wait, is there a place that people can donate or do something? Do you know a place?
Yeah, I just like donated to this. I'm embarrassed. So my friend Elaine still lives in Ventura, mm-hmm. and I DM'd her being like, where can I donate? And then she sent me a link to this Instagram called Grassroots Yoga.
Uh-huh.
And so I Venmo'd money to Grassroots Yoga. Watch it be like some woman who's just like...
Did you get like swindled?
Watch it be some woman who's like...
What did they want the money for?
It just goes towards the victims and rebuild land. I don't know. Stop it. Stop it. God. Now when you make me really think about it. No, but
Elaine, noted philanthropist Ryan O'Connell.
Elaine knows the real shit. She lives
in Ventura. So where's another good place? Because I feel weird telling our listeners if they want to donate to Grassroots
In my Instagram... This woman named Sarah.
Ryan's like, please Venmo Grassroots Yoga.
Please Venmo Ryan O'Connell, who will then dispense.
Please Venmo Lars Marie, who will then tell Ryan O'Connell that she got the money.
Well, you can also, in my Instagram, in my profile, there's a link to a registry for like baby shit.
So search Ryan O'Connell.
Which, by the way, I think I fucked up on. This is also really embarrassing.
Isn't there a place where you can just donate money? Don't people just want money?
I think I fucked up on the registry because we got diapers sent to our house. I think Ryan. I accidentally got it sent to my house. So now I need to figure out what to do with all these diapers. I have them. This is really embarrassing.
I think my
attempts at philanthropy.
Ryan, I'm worried.
I know. I'm worried for myself too. When that bag of Huggies showed up at my door,
I was like, I'm gonna start faking like emergencies. I'm gonna be like, did you hear about like the crazy emergency in Botswana, and then give you like a Venmo address that just somehow links back to like my bank account. I'm like, Venmo, pray for Botswana at Venmo.com.
I know.
They're accepting minimum donations of $300.
About the diapers thing.
Okay, so don't really do what Ryan has been doing for the Ventura fire victims.
United Way, I think, is another thing.
I think I read somewhere that, I don't know, maybe just Google wherever is the best place, because I still don't know, and Ryan certainly doesn't know what to do, though he is trying.
I really am. It's not for lack of trying. I'm really trying to figure out how to donate. I am. Every day is a journey for me. It's true.
I like that you just Venmo'd a yoga studio.
I know. I know, and got diapers delivered to my house instead of Ventura. I'm so bad at this.
Honey.
What's wrong with me? I know, I need help.
Okay, so just Google.
Okay.
Just Google it.
Google it.
Google it.
I'm sorry. Okay. Want to talk about Galway Girls? We got a request from
readers. We got a request from our readers.
So.
To talk about Galway Girls, which is like one of the original babes.
I've been obsessed with Galway Girls for a long time. When it was on the air, I wrote for this website called Thought Catalog, and you used to write recaps for it that were just insane. And I think like I was mutual friends with some people that knew them. So my whole life in New York was just, when am I going to run into the girls from End of a Century? And then actually I ran into Chantal in LA.
Yeah.
She was at fucking Domain LA, my safe place, my wine shop.
I've seen Chantal in LA as well.
So
she haunts the scene of LA.
So for those of you that are unfamiliar, Gallery Girls was a short-lived reality show in New York in 2012 about girls that were trying to make it into the art world, but they kind of weren't trying to make it.
They were on the fringe of the art.
They were just and they scene. Were, it was the true. It was a true goof troupe of individuals.
It was like Millennial Lols.
Oh, total Millennial.
They were Millennial Lols,
and they were like. There were like it was like supposed to be like hipsters versus like uptown girls. It was like supposed to be downtown versus uptown, and the downtown girls were these like I called them gallery ghouls because like they ran this sweatshop end of century, and where they just sold like you know like a devil's brooch for like $200, yeah. You know, and then
and like were, art for like $1,700.
That was just garbage,
just like garbage bad art, yeah.
And Chantal, one of the women, like who you know, so we watched.
It was Chantal, it Claudia, and then their friend Lara,
who was not cool enough to make it on the show.
No, Lara was like Angela, always cut out.
The morose photographer who was obsessed with moroseness.
Mm-hmm.
She was obsessed with being morose. She actually was borderline funny sometimes.
She kind of was.
She was funny.
So she was grating and awful.
So grating.
But then she actually kind of was funny and maybe slightly in on the joke.
Slightly. I loved it when she admitted that she shoplifted at Barney's all the time.
Love.
Like, they gave no fucks on that show. They, like, talked about everything.
Yeah.
It was weird.
It's one of the best one-season reality shows of all time.
And then they talked about, like, there was, like, so Chantal was truly the devil. I mean, actually, rewatching it, I was like,
Chantal is Satan.
Evil.
Yeah.
Like, truly just, like, a little gremlin lady being like,
she gets off on tearing other people down.
And literally just, like, emotional terrorism,
yeah.
Starring Chantal.
So like, Chantal and Claudia, like, basically, I think Claudia convinced her mother to like
invest in their clothing store art gallery.
To
sell like skeleton pendants,
yeah. And Claudia was supposed to be in charge of the art side of the gallery, like right. selling art. And Chantal was in charge of the fashion side, which right. was like buying merchandise and then like making sure
they wanted to have it in Manhattan because they thought there was a space for something a little bit more unconventional. That's how she thought. Like, I had my French press, I had my yoga, and I'm ready to work.
Yeah.
But then she would start crying.
Chantal was
disturbing.
Yeah.
Like she really was like unhinged because she was the queen of like gaslighting and making you and manipulation of like being like, I think you're just like projecting your stuff onto me.
She wouldn't show up for work and then she would and then when she did show up and Claudia was like, hey, like, can you please show up for work? Like, you haven't even been here and blah blah right. blah. Chantal would then just start weeping, crying, and then like accuse Claudia of like taking too much Adderall and being like abusive.
What the fuck are you talking about? I know. And she had this weird boyfriend Spencer, and I feel like I think I wrote in my recaps that they secretly just murdered couples all across Brooklyn. Like,
yeah.
They like lure people into their sex dungeon and just like kill them. And also there was the other girls, Liz, Maggie, Carrie, which no one cared about, the girl from Staten Island with a Dream.
Yeah, Carrie, like,
but also was there. Could afford a West Village apartment.
Yeah, Carrie
she
was
had
like
a stunning
stable. She
I
was
know,
like
but
a
like,
stable
it was
human
like,
being.
It was like, I don't know how I'm going to make this work. Meanwhile, she has like a one bedroom in the West Village that's stunning.
Yeah. Carrie was fine.
Oh, and then Amy, this kind of like melted inbred cupcake of a human being. She was inbred.
The mega babe.
She was inbred.
Of Gallery Girls.
She literally.
The number one babe
of
Gallery
Girls.
It was
sad because she was so insecure, so desperado for any kind of friendship. She'd like bribe people to be her friend.
Yeah.
She'd be like, cupcakes? Anyone want? I got brought cupcakes? And it was very, and she talked like she was a 90-year-old woman who smoked 2 packs a day. She was like, I'm done downtown. I'm ready to party. I'm ready to meet people.
And
she's like, my job pays my rent so I can network, intern, and party.
Yeah, she was always like at least like 4 glasses of wine deep at any given moment.
She's like the kind of girl like you'd be brushing your hair at your night in your bed, your bedroom, and she'd be like knack knack, and she'd be like floating above and like knocking on your window, like ready for friends, like can I come in? And they'd be like, how'd you get up here, Amy? She was really sad.
Yeah, she's really sad.
And then there was Maggie, who was like a ghost of a human being who couldn't
talk.
who like, could not
she's
talk.
She's like actually
she was like brain dead.
Traumatized.
No, I know. She was because I and think she had well,
had
actually,
a, well, she had had a sexual relationship with her Eli, boss. Eli.
The, which is, by the way, I did not pick up on the first time I watched it, but the next time I was either. Like, oh, and Eli is a toxic like, masculinity.
Yeah, he's like terrorized her at work. They had sex and then now she's in this like abusive relationship with him.
So
where
abusive.
She's like his unpaid intern that he like just slave. Like verbally abuses all the
it was
time.
So
and like
twisted.
Psychologically abuses. And she takes it. And then, like, but also now has, like, a new boyfriend in the show. And, like, it's just, like, shocking.
No,
it's actually,
the
like, her life is actually maybe
dark.
The darkest.
Yeah. She was also...
Because
like,
she has no
she
voice.
She couldn't talk. Like,
no.
It was actually insane. Like...
And she tries to go out for another job.
And then she thinks she got it.
She
when
thinks
she did
she
a terrible
got
job.
It when she did a terrible
job. She did a
job
terrible job.
And then Amy got the job over
Amy
her.
Waltzing in. Hey, guys. Ready to work.
Did Amy get fired from that job, though?
No,
no
she got
Amy,
it.
Amy, like, excelled at the job.
Yeah, oh, wait. The best part was when they went to Miami, and Amy's like, Amy with
they
the...
They go to Miami for
desperate.
Art Basel.
She's desperate to be in with the End of Century Girls. She, like, so the End of Century Girls are trying to find, like, a pop-up shop, and Amy's like, oh, no, I'll just spend $4,000 to get you your own pop-up shop. She's like, it's an investment. And they were just like, what? They were like, and also the End of Century Girls were so mean that instead of being like, thank you, Amy, they were like laughing at her, being like, wow,
like, sure,
what a
Amy.
Freak loser.
And let her pay like yeah. thousands of dollars
yeah.
to host like a
They were like,
event.
What a loser Amy is. Thanks, I guess. Loser. And it was just like, it was insane.
Yeah, they let her do the event and then they had the event, which like no one came to. And the whole time they were like, this is embarrassing. Like, this is actually humiliating. Like, and yeah. laughing about this person that,
I
like,
know.
Gave them thousands of dollars to, like, sponsor them, essentially.
And Amy's just like, hey, guys, just happy to be here. It's just, like, so sad.
Amy's, like, running around on the street, like, trying to recruit people to come into their, like, end
she
of century
also
pop-up.
Looked like she was 75 years old.
She
did.
That's not.
And then, like, they did her, like, and she always just looked a little bit, like, she rolled around in the mud and just like I it was not she it was weird
she was rough around the
she
edges.
she was rough
yeah
oh poor Amy. I think everyone knows an Amy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that was like
so
speaking
we
of toxic friendships like the
oh
most,
I guess that's very yeah. I guess the Gallagher girls were all toxic.
Yeah, they're the, like the ultimate
awful
toxic female friendship.
Right, and if you see Chantal, run.
Oh my god.
She will, I think she would
will,
literally murder someone.
No, she will suck your blood.
It was shocking how cruel she was. She just didn't care. She was like, and she always walked with like a hunch. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Like her, she's like,
Chantal's rail thin.
Rail thin.
Her bones are jutting out at all angles and yeah. she's kind of hunched over and she's like a chic Nosferatu.
Yeah, she's like trying to be Mary Kate, but
she's a true vampire.
She's like a wannabe Mary Kate.
Yeah.
Yeah, but only Mary Kate can be Mary Kate.
Only, there's only one.
Mary Kate, the only person on planet Earth to get plastic surgery to make herself look older.
It's chic.
I know, but like she literally was like, I'm done being 30. I want to be 45. She's like, I want to be Anne Bancroft in the adaptation of Great Expectations.
I'm just looking at people.
Did we get emails?
Yeah.
Does no one write babe?
No, they did.
They did?
Yeah.
You didn't tell me this.
Lizzie wrote us an email.
What'd she say?
Lizzie says, Lara, I'm obsessed with you and Ryan. You are the Lemaire of podcasts, and I'm obsessed with the high school childhood family stories. Also, couldn't stop lolling when you said your dad needs an assistant to communicate, a.k.a. your stepmom, because my dad does the exact same thing via his wife, Teresa.
Doormat wife, Teresa. Is that a specific perfect name? Teresa, doormat wife. I love that. Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Shout out to all the dads out there that can't just like communicate their feelings and emotions and like desires. They need their like wives to take over.
Laura, you responded to her already. I don't get any of these things.
Well, you need to sign up for the email.
I don't know how to do it. You haven't told me.
Literally, people email me and they're like, hey, Lara, I know Ryan won't do it, won't even see this, so they just talk to me.
Oh, really?
But yeah, put the email on your phone.
I want to know more. Wait, look at other things. Okay, this is great, because I actually want to talk about Kat Marnell.
Oh, yeah, where is it?
Kat Marnell right there.
Oh, yeah, Paige writes, this is tired AF because of her recent book, but Kat Marnell, I'm worried about her. Like, she's still totally on one all the time, and her book just, like, gave fuel to her mentally ill bonfire. What's your opinion on the popularity of her book might have affected her?
Okay, I have feelings about this. Do you want to talk about this?
You talk about it.
Okay.
Well, you obviously have you have feelings, and this is a this is actually a topic that Ryan and I have discussed a lot of times.
Well, I'm a Kat Marnell stan, and Laura kind of isn't, but and I think that you not standing for her, I think your feelings are valid, but I also think they come from a place of jealousy sometimes.
Why don't we talk about your feelings about her, and then I can represent my own feelings about her. Okay. I appreciate you speaking on my behalf.
Okay, so Kat, I actually know Kat kind of. I mean, we kind of came up together in the same time, like in the blogosphere, and she was like sort of the star writer of XO Jane. I was sort of the star writer of Thought Catalog, and we were like fans of each other's work. And I met her once. She came to a reading I did in the East Village, and she was exactly how you think she would have been. It actually was kind of shocking. Talking to her was really difficult because she has such Adderall brain that it's like scrambled eggs. Like, she couldn't complete a thought. It was very weird. It was so weird because on the page, she like snap crackles and pops, and she's fucking funny and she's dark and all those things. But in person, she can't really get it together to like form like a coherent thought, I don't think. So that was weird. That was sort of like, ooh, okay. And we shared the same drug dealer, this guy, Jonathan, who made me listen to his poetry when I bought drugs from him.
Whoa, which I was like, it's a hefty price to pay.
It was a hefty. He's like, you're a writer? Me too. Let me show you some things. And I was like, ah! I immediately like popped like 5 Percocets at my mouth. I was like, time to enjoy this. And I was really addicted to pills when I... So I kind of felt this like kinship with Kat. And, but yeah, I think it's sad. I think her book I thought was amazing, but I think that she is sick and she always will be sick. And, I think that this idea of like, oh, well, we fueled her mental illness and we've enabled her addiction and all that stuff. She's going to use regardless. I mean, she's going to use regardless. Like, she doesn't really have a bottom in terms of like finances and stuff. So I actually think that I think that it's really important that you write about drug addiction, and you don't always write about it from like the rearview mirror. You write about it when you're going through it. I think that's a really valuable perspective that we don't always have. And I also think it's really important for a woman to talk about doing drugs and being fucked up. And she doesn't really make any apologies for being that way, which I kind of think is refreshing and interesting. And I just think that it's important to have her voice. And also, I think she's a really good writer.
Yeah.
And she's like, doesn't like, her writing is never boring. And she always has an interesting spin on things. And I think that she's going to do what she's going to do. So whether or not she has fame or book money, she's going to do what she wants to do. So I don't really feel like we've enabled her in any way.
My thoughts are that she's definitely a babe.
Yeah, she's a total babe.
100%
she's
babe.
A total babe.
Yeah. And at first, I read her book when it first came out, or maybe even before it came out, like a galley or whatever. Uh-huh. And I live for an addiction memoir of any kind. Like, it's some of my favorite genre of like writing to read. So at first I was like irritated because I mean, I think I'm mostly used to the addiction memoir as like, this is what I've been through and this is how I got out of it. Even though I do think that the getting out of it part tends to always bore me, and I may or may not like give up reading at that part because I do just like a sordid addiction tale. And at first I was just like rubbed the wrong way because I thought it, I did think that the book reeked of like this unchecked privilege, and like it just irritated me. And then with distance from it, I've actually like grown to appreciate it a lot. And good. I think that she is a really good writer.
She's
a really good
writer. There's no denying that.
No, there's not. Like, I can't, like, one thing I cannot say about her is like her writing sucks. It's really good. K-hole when you read it. It's addictive.
It's, she has an impressive writerly flow.
Yeah. And a unique style. And yeah. It's like, you feel like you're in her brain and everything. Like, I'm like, would I want to meet her? Absolutely not. But like, would I like to read everything she writes? Yeah, I'll read everything she writes. Yeah. And it's weird. It's kind of like, she's kind of like a Vanderpump Rules character. And the more that she crashes and burns, the more entertaining she is.
Well, she's just been in Europe for like years, essentially, at this point now. She just went to Europe.
Yeah.
Her book came out and she's been traveling alone, I think, in Europe. She just makes me, the whole thing with me, her makes me very sad. It's like, when I saw that photo of her with a wig, you know, she started wearing wigs because she burned her hair out all, like, she was on tons of speed and she just, I think she fucked up her hair. She was like dyeing her hair and then she went too crazy and then her hair fell out. So she had to start wearing wigs. And I just remember when her book came out, seeing that author photo of her smiling and wearing a blue mermaid wig, I was like, oh, that's very sad because she's still so in the throes of her addiction that she just lost her hair in an Adderall raid. So I was like, that's just really sad. I mean, there's no else way to put it. I mean, it's just, it's a bummer. So I feel for her and I feel for her still being in her addiction. So,
yeah, I mean, it's just it'll be interesting to see if like she makes it out the other side at all and like how, what that journey will even look like. And then if she does, I don't know. It's just it's a weird place to be in, I think, as a writer, because I'm sure that she must feel to some extent, I'm not exciting if I'm sober.
I miss
her. Because her writing is so like, the whole crux of it is like, this person's so fucked up and will like write all about it.
I miss her beauty writing a lot because she interwove personal stories with a beauty recommendation.
Yeah.
And I thought having that was actually so brilliant because the beauty industry is so buttoned up and so chaste. So for someone to make beauty recommendations and put it within this relatable context of the best lip liner that like won't come off on someone's dick or like, you know, the best whatever shampoo if you're like not getting any sleep and you're like, you know, you're being a party girl. I thought, I've never seen beauty like writing like that before in my life. Mm-hmm. I thought it was so smart. And I think that it took.
Wasn't she going to return to Exo Jane for she had one? Yeah.
But then she like barely could do that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I really liked learning about her life through the context of her beauty writing. And I think without the beauty writing, it can get too much. It can get like, you kind of almost need to soften the blow with like a great lipstick recommendation. Or like, I just think that like seeing them combined, the beauty and the personal, was really interesting to me. And I thought, I'd never seen that before. And I just wish that she did that. I wish that she like went back to beauty writing because she's so good at it.
But I think she's also become like her own.
Well, she wrote herself into a corner is what she did.
Yeah. And she's become like such like a caricature of herself almost in a way that it's like, this is just who she is now. Like, I think it would be taking a step backwards to like go be a blogger or like writing about beauty somewhere.
I know.
Which is unfortunate. But I'm like, would I read any book that she writes? Absolutely.
I just feel like, because, you know, I used to write about my personal life a lot, and I still sort of do sometimes, but
You love getting a little bit personal, a little bit raw.
Of course. But it's like, I am so glad that I don't do that for a living anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad, because I feel like it can be so exhausting and not always really healthy. Like, I had this column for Vice called Disability Diaries, where I was going to like examine my disability like in every facet of my life. And it turns out that it was like not healthy to look at your life through the lens of your disability always. I just felt like that really did me dirty. And I just feel like for her to always be having to write about her addiction and her, how sad her life is, I don't know. I'm like, wow, honey, I'm just, I feel bad for her.
Yeah. It's a TBD.
Yeah. It is a TBD.
It's a true TBD. Who knows? Okay. Well, thank you to everyone that wrote in. And also, if you're wanting to write to us or suggest a babe, please do. Just write babepodcast@gmail.com and we'll do our best to address any and all of your concerns.
Oh, and then let us know if you don't mind us reading it on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Just if you don't want us to read your email, just say it. Say either way what you are okay with. And then we will respect your wishes.
Or not. All right. Love you.
Bye. All right. Love you guys. Bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.